Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got a plethora of topics today. From college baseball, Big 12 baseball tournament starting as we speak down in Arlington. We've got the softball super regionals, a couple of those in the state of Oklahoma. I think OSU's tomorrow night, OU Friday afternoon, get those started. NBA playoffs last night. Even the rain couldn't help the Warriors leaking through the roof at American Airlines Arena as Dallas avoids the sweep, probably be a gentleman's sweep in five, but they did avoid the sweep last night. Luka Doncic was great, and what's incredible is it was his worst. We're going to read off his stat line, and this is going to be the worst elimination game he's ever had in five tries, and you're going to be shocked. College football, I've seen some odds to win conferences and some over-under win totals come out. So, we'll look at those. And then I mentioned the FPI, which is kind of the computer-generated ranking on ESPN's website. Let's see how the FPI squares with what Vegas thinks. As far as the win totals, or the offshores think, as far as the win totals and the over-unders and the conference winner. And then also, we've got a special treat coming up on Friday. Now, 9-time Ironman triathlete Brandon Culver is going to stop by Friday at 9:30. We're going to pick his brain about all kinds of things when it comes to just the whole gamut of doing that. And if you don't know what is entailed in that race, I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to see how far Jared thinks he could make it.
I can already tell you, not very far.
See how far Jared thinks he can make it in the Ironman triathlon, of which has completed 9 of them.
And I'm still digesting my breakfast bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit.
Yeah, guess what? He wasn't having a bunch of those.
No.
I saw him last night, so he was upright.
He recovered?
He was in recovery. He said he gives himself a week.
I could see that.
He gives himself a week.
I need longer than that. I tell you that, man. That's pretty impressive stuff. I'm anxious to hear what he has to say.
Yeah. Get some questions in here for him. Because I talked about it on the sports report on Monday. Mm-hmm. You know, the results and how he did and how fast he did each of the things and all that in his time. And I had multiple people. I think it was like 5 or 6 people text me like, wow, that is unbelievable. You need to get him on the show. And I was like, you know what? I thought the exact same thing. And they're like, if you do, ask him this. And everybody was asking something different. And that's when I thought, you know what? This would be fascinating. It really would be.
Yeah.
Because those weren't the questions I thought of. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Everybody had kind of
questions, yeah.
As far as it went. Their own angle. That's what I'm thinking. Okay. Their own angle into, you know, how this works and what all he does. And so I thought that was great. So we appreciate him going to come in and tell us all about that. So that'll be cool on Friday at 9:30. But I want to see what you think you can do. And do you know what it is? Without looking it up, do you know exactly what it is?
A triathlon?
Yeah, like how far each of the things are.
How far each? No. No, does it involve 3 things? So running or jogging, running, bicycle and swimming?
Correct. Just okay, the but exact opposite order.
Okay, well, yeah. But the distance, I don't know.
Okay, I can't wait. Because, see, and this is one thing that I can't wait to ask him. Because I put it into terms of like monuments or like towns.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the swimming.
You know how, yeah.
The swimming is like from here to Love's.
Oh, wow. Okay. Man.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever it is. You know, then you ride your bike to Bricktown or whatever. You know, I mean, that's how I put it in my mind. I can't wait to see how he does that.
Yeah.
You know, and then all the preparation from eating to obviously the, you know, getting prepared.
Yeah, you can't just
physically.
Wake up and go, okay, I'm going to do this today. He has to prepare for it.
Oh, and I can't wait to figure out how long that takes.
Yeah.
So that's going to be great. That's coming up on Friday at 9:30. Brandon's going to be in here talking about that. We'd like to hear from you, 225-9698. If you've got any questions for him on Friday, fire him in, 225-9698. Otherwise, anything else that's on your mind, feel free to chime in there as well at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things Paragon. It's got three radio stations, us right here on KADS, KECO, Cool 94. Got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. And, of course, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, during the high school sports seasons. And the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen at your leisure to any episode that we have. The Skinny on Sports podcast can be found on KADSAM.com or iTunes. If you go the iTunes route, you might as well subscribe. That way you are alerted when a new podcast drops. Hello, Jared.
You know what I always say about Paragon TV, even though this is kind of the off-season. It literally is the off-season. But you can go back and watch games in the archive.
Yeah, except for one.
Don't throw that at me, are you?
I had that question again the other day after the baseball game.
It's just sometimes it happens. We don't need to rehash.
It was more of a needle to you from somebody that knows you than there's definite disappointment on the face, but it's more of a needle to you about how that worked. Anyway, I'd like to go back and watch it too.
Well, it doesn't take away the fact that they won the game, so let's take solace in that. But I was saying that the other day. It was that Friday you were here. Saying, hey, you know what? Go back and watch some games. Some of those fun games.
Yeah, there's tons of them all through the year.
All the schools we cover. Yeah. So, anywho, how are you?
You can go back and watch maybe the most ridiculous call in the history of officiating.
Careful.
At the end of that Eric game. Remember that one? Up at Sharon Mutual.
Help me remember.
It was a girls' game. They called a charge.
Oh,
remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That one was rough.
We're going to attempt to save face here. You can watch all the great calls that happened.
Oh, there's way more of those than there are. See, here's the deal. That's why that one was so memorable, because it doesn't happen very often.
You're right.
You weren't letting me get there yet, Jared.
Okay. I'm just trying to help you out, bud.
Yeah, the one missed call we saw all year long.
Exactly. Yes.
Was that one.
Oh, boy. Anywho.
Never mind. We better stop. But it was like, even Coach Jans was like, what? Like, he was almost so flabbergasted he couldn't argue. That's how that went. Yeah, you can go watch all those games. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of both Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. All right, NBA playoffs last night. I mentioned that the Dallas Mavericks knocked off Golden State for their first win of the Western Conference Finals, 119-109. Dallas led by as many as 28. Golden State made it a tick interesting down the stretch, outscoring the Mavs 39-20 in the fourth quarter, but the game was pretty well decided by that point. Luka Doncic, listen to this line. Okay, so he had 30 points, 14 rebounds, and 9 assists.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and that's the worst elimination game he's ever had. He came into that thing averaging an NBA record 38.3 a night in 4 tries at elimination games. So he's still well above 30 after his fifth one. This game was, I don't know, marred is the right word, but they're coming out. The second half was delayed 16 minutes because the roof was leaking. I mean, what is this, the Big House? I've seen that happen there before.
Yeah.
During a rainstorm. But Maybe that's Mark Cuban's way of getting a new arena built.
So you want a new one?
Probably. Why wouldn't you? All it's going to do is generate money. But in the end, Dallas wins 119-109. So the scene shifts back to the Bay Area for Game 5 coming up on Thursday. I think we talked about it yesterday. I'm not surprised at all that Dallas won this game. It felt like with Golden State taking the 3-0 lead, a lot of times you see this, especially when the team that's down 0-3 is on their home floor, where they kind of have everything, you know, they're back to the wall, all the cliches you can use in that situation. And they come out and they play the best game of the series. They force it back to, back to the other place. And then they go quietly in Game 5. The one thing about this series is different, or could potentially be different. In a Red Sox Yankees type way, is Luka. It's almost like, okay, if you're going, don't let him get hot. Because when he gets hot, then, you know, all of a sudden, look at what happened last night. You've got Finney Smith, 9 of 13, knocked down 4 of 7 from 3. The Mavs as a team, 20 of 43. Luka didn't even shoot it that great at only 10 of 26. But the guys around him, Reggie Bullock was 6 of 10. Brunson, 5 of 12. Maxi Kleba off the bench, 5 of 6. You know, those are the types of numbers that you have to see from Dallas, because you know what you're getting with Luka. You know you're getting 30-plus, but you've got to have that extra firepower. And last night, doing it at home, of course, the other guys were able to step up and play by far their best game of the series from start to finish. I know they started really, really well in Game 2 and kind of fell off the cliff. But this is it's one of those, like, I'm not sitting here saying that Dallas really has a legit chance, because they don't. But I do think they have a chance to make this interesting. It wouldn't shock me if they went in there and picked one off and at least forced a Game 6 back in Dallas.
You got to hope that the shooting from Golden State stays tepid. I guess that's a word I'm going to use. Curry only hit 2 from outside. Thompson as well, with a 35% from beyond the arc, just looking at the stats now. That's not going to cut it for Golden State. And that was fortunate for Dallas that they weren't hitting those threes. That's hard. That's hard for me to see that continuing in San Francisco.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
I'm with you. I was kind of, you know, I was agreeing yesterday. I can see Dallas winning this one, taking it back to Golden State, and then they finish them off there. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, that's what, maybe elimination games is what Dallas has been waiting for Luka and the team to come alive. So, again, another elimination game for them, and we'll see if they can pull off the shocker. But I just don't see it.
How far up the list of best players in the league has Luka Doncic moved during this playoff run, in your mind?
This playoff run, yeah, he's climbed a few.
No, I don't mean just, but I mean as far as playoff, overall, how much has this playoff helped him in your mind?
Exactly, this playoff run. I mean, he was at a high level before this playoff run, and the thing is, I mean, it's not all the way up there, because I don't think he's hit a ceiling yet. As far as, I mean, obviously the ceiling is a championship, but I think there's more to Luka than what we've seen, and I think when he gets help, we'll see more of it. But yeah, he's climbed a few notches. I can't sit here. I mean, there's 1 and 2, Durant and LeBron, in any order you want to pick him in. And I mean, I could see him around the 5-6 mark, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, for me, it's Giannis first, and then 2 through 7 or 8. I mean, it's almost kind of what's your flavor. You know,
right.
LeBron is probably still there, but he's leaving.
Depends how you measure it, too.
Like, that's true.
Championships measure it. Do stats measure it for you? Win percentage, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of think in order
longevity,
to be the best player, you need to have won one. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Steph is still around that, but I mean, he's put himself in that. I think you've got a top five-ish for sure. With what he can do. And it's weird to watch him, because it feels like he comes into the season not quite in the best shape. You know, doesn't it feel like he gets off to slow starts? And then as he works himself into shape, then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, there he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we were having, back in January, legitimate arguments about, now, wait a minute, did Atlanta win this trade?
Right.
And numbers kind of pointed to that at that time. But and, of course, Trae Young was coming off of Eastern Conference Finals last year that Luka's going to basically mirror this year. And so there was a lot of things in Trae Young's favor a year ago now, or, you know, and mm-hmm. then obviously starting the season. But the one thing that Trae Young's never going to be able to have that Luka does is size. Luka's 6'7", 230. Trae Young's a little shrimp out there. At 6'1", what, 180 tops?
Right.
If that much.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's the difference, and it's going to be the difference, and it's going to always make Luka just a little bit better player, is because of the size and the ability to affect the game in so many different ways. You know, there's a lot of talk when after Atlanta got beat out in the play-in stuff of how Trae has got to mold his game even more than it already is at how Steph Curry has done body-wise and also being willing to get off the ball. And, you know, when you watch Steph, the ball's not in his hands all the time. It's why it's so much fun to watch the Warriors, because it's not in anybody's hands all the time and not for very long. And I think that's the next iteration of Luka, is to figure out that out a little bit as well, of not as much usage and being able to get off the ball a little bit and affect the game in that way too. But the one thing that Dallas has is him. And if he can get hot, you know, we saw it in Game 7 on the road in Phoenix. I wouldn't be shocked if they forced a Game 6. And then everybody would be starting to get fired up about the prospects of a Game 7. And the champs will go in there and crush them. You know what I mean? Like, just rip their heart out somehow.
Right.
Like Oklahoma City's all too familiar with in Game 6 on their home floor. So that's the West. The East tonight, pivotal Game 5 down in Miami. Series tied at 2-2. The winner of Game 5 in a situation like this wins the series a little bit over 80% historically. Miami banged up. You haven't seen anything yet as far as who's available from Hero. How's Jimmy Butler? You know, P.J. Tucker. It seems like Miami's kind of a little bit of the walking wounded, whereas Boston's probably got the most important player that you're not sure about with Marcus Smart, but then Miami's got a whole bunch more of them.
Yeah, the Heat are going to be the walking dead if they lose this game. And we don't know what their status is. They are a dog in this one, 2-point favorite for Boston. This is pivotal for Boston. They have to take this win, right? You feel like they have to win it.
Yeah, see, I'm the other way around. I think Miami has to win. I could see Boston winning Game 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Just like they did in the previous series.
I think Boston sees the opportunity here, where if it is a wounded Heat team, they're on the ropes, right?
Yeah, it's a chance to knock them out.
Go into their arena, beat them. We mentioned the fans yesterday. Get in there, start early like they did in Game 3, and then, I mean, it'd be a total game changer, series changer, if they can go in there and win. So that's why I feel like they almost have to. Like, this is their opportunity. Can't squander it. And I like them. I like Celtics in this one.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I feel like the Heat are just too banged up.
Yeah.
You know, in important spots are just too banged up. But about the time you think this about Miami so far, they've come out and played really, really, really well at times in this situation. So we'll see. Looking at the scouting, yeah, everybody's day-to-day. Lowry, Struss, Hero, P.J. Tucker on the other side. Smart and Robert Williams also listed as day-to-day, at least right now. So we'll see what happens in Game 5 tonight. All right, Big 12 baseball starting as we speak down in Arlington with the 4-seed Oklahoma State and the 5-seed Texas. Here's how that bracket looks. It's that game at 9, then the 8 and the 1 in the same side of the bracket is Baylor and TCU at 12:30. Down in the bottom half, Tech plays Kansas State. That's the 2-7 matchup, and then the Sooners and West Virginia. OU the 3-seed, West Virginia the 6-seed. 4 o'clock for Tech, 7:30 for Oklahoma. Here's the question. Who can host next week and then also in the Super Regionals? Is there a team? Is there a team in the Big 12 with a tournament title that can be one of the top eight national seeds?
I think there's two. And I think it's TCU and Tech.
See, that's super interesting because you're looking at polls.
Right.
And in the RPI, they are nowhere near. It's amazing how much different the RPI is than the polls, mm-hmm. than the human polls. Do you know who the top-ranked team in the RPI is in the Big 12?
I would guess OSU.
OSU at 17. Tech and TCU are down there at 34 and 36.
But this is still a human factor, right?
There is
the recency thing. That could, if OSU bows out early in this tournament,
see, I think TCU Tech, or Tech, I think Tech is run. Done because of what happened last week. Losing two of three to OU.
To OU,
yeah.
Losing that series. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there is two, I think it's TCU and OSU. I really think it's only one, and I think it's only OSU.
Okay.
I really do. I don't think anybody else can be a national seed. Maybe TCU if they won the tournament. Because if you're the regular season and the tournament, maybe you can squeeze in there. But it's wild, the contrast. Because it's the rankings from the human polls are almost exactly inverse of the RPI.
Yeah.
It's got OSU at 17, 21 Texas. This is the RPI. OU's 30, TCU 34. West Virginia is actually ahead of Tech in the RPI at 35 and 36. Mm. But then in the human poll, the one I looked at, Baseball America, TCU 12, TCU 8, Tech 12, OSU 13, OU 19, and Texas down there at 24. Now, how many of these do you think could get in the conversation to host the regional round next week in the top 16?
With next weekend?
Yes.
I stick with recency stuff. I think who can make a deep run this tournament. And I think your three favorites are, in no order, TCU, Tech, and OSU. So whoever can get deep in this tournament, maybe
play in the finals.
Maybe just play in the finals. If it's one of those three, I can see that happening for them next weekend.
Yeah, I can too. I can see two or three hosting next weekend, depending on what happens and how they look this week. You know, OSU playing TCU may be a determining factor in a lot of things moving forward if both those teams can win today.
Mm-hmm.
Softball Super Regionals start tomorrow in Stillwater. I think it's an 8:30 first pitch. On Thursday, they'll have Stillwater OSU and Clemson. That's number 7 OSU and number 10 Clemson. So they'll go Thursday, Friday, Saturday if it goes that far in their three games. And then Oklahoma starts, Friday at 3:30, I believe, is the first pitch?
Just had it pulled up.
Yeah, I think it's 3:30 against Central Florida.
3:30.
So that'll
Friday.
Be Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, 3:30, Saturday, centers. 1 o'clock, and then if necessary, Sunday.
How many games will be played here this weekend? Total.
In the state?
Yes.
5.
So you think UCF gets one?
No, no offense, OSU. I think Clemson is a tougher out than UCF is for OU.
Do they both?
But I think OSU.
Get there?
Yes, yes. I can confidently say that. Yes.
I think there's going to be 4 games.
You think all 4? Hey, I hope that happens.
You're going to see a couple of sweeps, and then then it starts to get fun.
Yeah.
To think about the possibilities of Bedlam for the softball national title. That's going to be a heck of a ticket to try to get if that happens.
Forget about it.
Should have already had them.
Or looked into it. Parking passes sold out. The ticket. I mean, forget about it.
Park at the zoo and walk.
Yeah, Lincoln Park and walk.
Before we get into those college football kind of gambling topics, thank you to our man Monty Tucker. Big congrats to our Beckham County 4-H trap shooting teams that competed in the state 4-H Spring Fun Shoot. I think this was Sunday, maybe. Pretty sure it was Sunday. Second place intermediate team was Dayson Harmon, Jeremy Wilson, and Reed Tucker. Second place senior team, Tanner Newton, Tristan Easter, Landon Loberger, and Alex Orgain. Third place senior team, Jaden Darling, Addison Darling, Janessa Wilson, and Caleb Stone. And then the fourth place senior team, of Reese Hightower, Aiden Wood, Mason Tucker, and Leighton Freas. Top individuals, Landon Loberger was the champion senior and champion runner-up high male. Reed Tucker, champion runner-up junior. Dax Everson, third overall junior from Roger Mills County. Dason Harmon, champion runner-up intermediate. Janessa Wilson, fifth overall senior and third female overall.
It's great.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. We've talked about the shooting stuff, the shooting sports throughout the spring. Merritt was the team champ back in the school time of this. And then, you know, you continue to hear kind of the same names here start the summertime. So congratulations to all of those 4-H shooters. And thank you to Monty for the information there as well. Okay, Jared, so I saw an article this morning. BetOnline.org has posted odds to win conferences in the Power Five, and then also regular season win totals. Everybody plays 12 games now, so that gives you kind of an idea when we start to hit these over-unders. So conference odds and over-unders. Which team in the, around the country do you think has the greatest odds, the biggest favorite to win their conference?
I will lean Ohio State.
You, my friend, are absolutely correct, and it's not even close. Ohio State is -240 to win the Big Ten. So what that means is you have to bet $240 to win 100. The next in line are Michigan and Wisconsin at 10-1, plus 1,000. So you have to bet 100 to win 1,000 that way. That is massive, massive favorite.
Yeah.
And you don't seem surprised at all.
No. Ohio State seems like they're loaded coming back this year, and I think there's going to be there won't be a lot of shock to it, but there'll be a drop off at Michigan after their previous season. Wisconsin's always going to be in the conversation, I guess, but they've never seemed to get over the hump. Same thing could be said about Penn State. But Ohio State has always been the consistent team out of the Big Ten, and this year I think their chances are better than ever to win that conference.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time not picking them to win the national championship.
Right? There's a lot to have them number one.
I would be one of those. With Stroud and, man, those receivers. And here's what's crazy. They lost, two guys that went in the top 20 of the NFL draft with Wilson and Olave?
Yeah, you'd think there'd be...
You'd think it'd be like, oh, man, where are they going to get the receivers? They might be better.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison Jr. kind of had a breakout Rose Bowl where you thought, oh, there he is. Obviously, Smith and Jigba. Stroud's a year older, year better. I mean, watch out for that offense.
Yes.
Defensively, we'll see. I mean, Ohio State's always got guys. It just depends on how many. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I'm not kidding when I say this. I don't know how you keep them under 40. Maybe weather. In November and December is the only chance you got. Because that team, and who do they play? God, they have a huge game early. Mm-mm-mm.
Efforting.
I should have had this pulled up.
Sorry,
is it Notre Dame?
Finally, yes, they have.
I think
Notre
it's
Dame
Notre
week,
Dame.
Week one,
yeah, that's right. Ohio State, Notre Dame. So you're right on that. Who do you think would be the second biggest favorite in their conference?
Let's go. There's no way I'm going to the SEC.
Obviously,
too close. I hate to. I want to say this, but is it SC?
No, SC is tied atop the conference odds with Oregon. They're both 2-1, plus 200. It's actually Clemson, which I think a year ago
that
had probably been the first name out of your mouth,
right?
But they had a little bit of a down year at 9-3. Beat Iowa State in the bowl game. They are a -140. So bet 140 to win 100. Next up is Miami. Miami of Florida 5-1, NC State at 8-1. So they're a pretty sizable favorite, but nowhere near what Ohio State is. Now let's go to the Big 12. Excuse me, Big 12. Who do you think is the favorite?
I'll go with OU.
It is the Sooners plus 190. Right behind them, Tejas plus 240.
Really?
So 1.9-1 versus 2.4-1. Oklahoma State is third in that order at 5-1. Baylor 6.5-1, and then a pretty steep drop off down to TCU at fifth at 14-1. I know we shouldn't be surprised by this, but it always still is just a little bit surprising when you see what has happened. You know, 2018 is almost the blip on the radar screen versus what it's normally like. When the reason I say 2018, that's the year that Texas made it to the Big 12 title game. That's the anomaly over the last decade, not the norm. And so it's still a little bit surprising, even though you shouldn't be, to see them with this much clout, according to the odds makers.
It is a little surprising to seem that high. I would have put the two participants in last year's title game in there before them. But I guess year number two under Sarkisian, you got Ewers there.
Ewers.
And, you know, a lot of returning talent, both at running back and wide receiver.
If they can block somebody,
yeah,
that offense is going to be good.
Yeah, if they could only get by Kansas, that's the question, right? That's the only question.
I think Baylor lost a ton from last year. And in Oklahoma State, everybody wants to talk about Sanders, and I get it with the way that he's been inconsistent when he's – I mean, just the last two games of the year are the perfect dichotomy of what Spencer Sanders has been at Oklahoma State. Just the brutal, crushing, horrificness of four interceptions in the Big 12 title game against Baylor, and then the, oh my Lord, is this guy a Heisman Trophy front runner with the way he played against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's just – it was the perfect Spencer Sanders back-to-back games. But here's the thing. I don't think he's the most important part of that team, even though it's going to fall on his shoulders.
It's the defense.
What are they going to do up the middle on defense?
Yeah.
They lost everybody up the middle.
Yeah. Sanders isn't the question. It is the defense. That's where
up,
I've kind
up
of
– Up the middle. Now, everybody – listen, no one's going to have better – in the conference and maybe in the country, then Brock Martin, Colin Oliver, and if Trace Ford can be what we've seen Trace Ford be on the outside rushing the passer. But who's up the middle? They lost everybody. It would be like a baseball team that lost their best catcher, pitcher, shortstop, second baseman, and center field. That's exactly what OSU lost. And so how can they replace that with Harper and Rodriguez gone, Antoine, Jernigan in the middle of the defensive line, and then the safeties as well? Well, with McAllister and Harvell Peel moving on, and also Bernard Converse is one of the corners. You know, that is such a huge question mark in my mind. It's funny to me how the narrative has changed so quickly because of one season of defense. It's almost like, oh, they'll just reload. Well, when the hell have they been good other than last year? You know, that last year's defense at Oklahoma State was way away from the norm of what we've seen. And losing all that up the middle, man, maybe they can. Maybe they can replace it. But until I see that, Sanders is more of a for sure thing in my mind than what's up the middle of their defense. So that's where, you know, Baylor and Oklahoma State both losing all that they lost. Iowa State lost almost everybody.
Yeah, they'll take a step back.
You would think. So who is it? TCU? Are they the team that kind of step up? And it for the first time in a while, and this is maybe hoping for Texas a little bit too much, but it does, and even Oklahoma. I mean, if this was Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma, even coming off what they had from last year, OU would be one of the biggest favorites in the country.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because of what the uncertainty behind them.
Everything else, yeah. Outside of Norman.
That's right. And you probably give too much benefit of the doubt to Venables and OU in my mind But it feels like Oklahoma and Texas are in kind of a little bit of a tier above everybody else until you see it. And that's taking into account we really don't know much about OU. It's more of me a reflection on the rest of the conference. And maybe OSU's offense could be so good that they'll make up for defense early on, which is clearly going to have to be the hope.
A couple thoughts on the Big 12. One, we talked about OSU defense. We mentioned the personnel-wise. Don't forget, they're replacing the coach, too, there.
That's right.
There's questions there. And then, two, if I'm picking a dark horse or a team to keep an eye on that could be like an Iowa State that could give people fits and problems, watch Kansas State.
Yeah, but who's going to be their quarterback?
It's Martinez.
Adrian Martinez?
Yeah.
The guy from Nebraska?
Yeah. But
well, that's a step back from Skylar Thompson.
Yeah. Well, their coach, though, is a guy that – how many years has he been there now?
Third season? Yeah.
I've always liked the guy, even when he was beaten. just kind of a team with all that uncertainty that you mentioned – I could see Kansas State being that team like, oh, well, you know, kind of, I'm not saying they're going to be like Baylor of last year. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying they could be in a conversation come November.
It's going to have to be somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it is just Baylor and OSU again. But there's a lot there. There's a lot, really and truly, around the conference, there's a lot to replace. And maybe this is Texas's time to try to reassert themselves. We'll find out pretty quick. Week 2. All they got is Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine? Can you stop and fathom this, Jared? Can you imagine the hype train if they somehow win that game?
Oh, it'd be great until what, October 8th?
I mean, that would put them clearly the Big 12 favorite.
Oh, yeah.
If they can beat Alabama. Let's see.
Now I got my own curiosity running. What Kansas State's schedule looks like. Hosting Missouri in a non-conference game. At OU early on September 24th. I'm just pointing out some key games. Hosting Tech. Hosting OSU. Hosting Texas. Tough games at Baylor, at West Virginia, late in November. I mean, there's possibilities there at Iowa State. I'm not saying I'm going to be wearing
Farmageddon.
I'm not wearing purple by any means, but I just – they're not going to be a bad team is what I'm saying.
I think the purple is the right way to go, one of the two.
TCU
one of the two purples.
Yeah.
Is the way to think about this going into the season.
They're at TCU in October, but they got some key home games. Now, it's going to be tough in Norman, obviously. That's never scared them before.
No, I think last time they were there, they won.
Yeah. And hosting Texas and OSU, those two teams that are favored above them. It's never fun going to Manhattan.
That's as good a choice as any, I think, even though replacing the quarterback with a worse one scares me. you mentioned the SEC. There's two teams that are way out in front of everybody else.
It's clear.
Alabama and Georgia. Alabama is the favorite at plus 100, Georgia plus 145, and then it goes all the way down to Texas A&M at plus 900, and then clear down to plus 2800 with Ole Miss. So it's kind of two, A&M on a tier of their own below the big two, and then everybody else is – in a big giant pot together. The one team that's amazing to see down this far to me is LSU. Watch out. It might be worth, they're plus 5,000, 50-1. Might be worth $20 on LSU. They can get the Brian Kelly magic going with that weird talk, trying to fit in. Who was the quarterback they got? Jaden Daniels from Arizona State transferred in. You never know. That to me, that one jumps off the page of if you're gonna try a Hail Mary, why not LSU?
And they're at like fifth favorite. What are they?
No, further down than that.
Further down.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eighth. tied eighth with Arkansas.
Wow, I figured Arkansas would be a little higher.
Arkansas schedule is always hard.
Yeah,
seems like. Let's see, LSU. They should get Bama at home, right? Because they were there in 2019 with Joe Burrow. That was at Alabama when they won that game. So they should get Bama at home this year. Probably means they have to go to A&M.
I'm on this great website, and it's just so slow. Maybe because I'm watching OSU and Texas play right now, too. But 0-0, by the way, in the third.
So that would be one. And then we mentioned the Pac-12, Oregon and USC.
Really?
Both the favorite.
No, Utah 2-1. Three, I guess.
Yes, Utah's 3 at 325, plus 325. Some over-unders.
Win totals?
Over-under win totals. There's four. The four teams in the Big 12 that have the best odds are all the same at 8.5, if I remember right. It's harder to find these because they're in alphabetical order. All right, so here's Baylor. Yeah, Baylor's 8.5, over under 8.5. OU and OSU, both 8.5, and I'm pretty sure Texas is as well. Yep. And there's a little bit of odd, little bit of differing odds as far as, you know, having to lay a little bit more money to take an over for each of those teams. So if you had to bet somebody to go over 8.5 between that foursome, who would you bet? This is where schedules come in handy.
So you said the 8.5, OU, OSU, Texas, and Baylor.
And Baylor.
Can I say nobody? No. I
feel
like
God, somebody, how bad's a conference going to be then?
I could say some. It just feels like, I don't know, OU being the favorite in the Big 12, you'd almost have to take the over on that.
They go to Nebraska. Okay, here's OSU's schedule. They host Central Michigan. They host Arizona State, who doesn't have their quarterback anymore. They host Arkansas Pine Bluff. That seems like 3-0 pretty easy. Their road games in the Big 12, Baylor, TCU, Kansas State, Kansas, OU. Probably doesn't get much tougher than that. For, you know what I'm saying? That's a pretty tough road schedule. Then obviously that means they host West Virginia, Iowa State, Texas, and Texas Tech. 9-3 is a winner.
Yeah, I can see the OSU doing that. What do you think about OU's schedule? 2-0. Toss up Nebraska.
Yeah, that.
At least they won't have balloons anymore.
That one doesn't look good to me for OU.
At Nebraska?
Nope.
So 2.
9-3, that's an over. Could they be 3-2 going into Texas? If they're 3-2 going into Texas, they're in trouble to get to 9.
Yeah, at Nebraska and at TCU before Texas looks tough.
And Kansas State it sandwiched in there, as they always seem to be on OU's schedule in that perfect spot.
Right.
Now, Oklahoma hasn't won 8 or fewer games since 2014. So they got that going for them.
Man, we're going to know a lot about OU before October 8th.
And you know? Texas as well.
Yeah. If OU get to Dallas undefeated, then people are going, whoa. They've survived at Nebraska. They finally beat Kansas State and Norman. And they went to TCU and won.
Texas schedule, obviously Bama is looming there at the first of it. Their road games are at Tech, at Oklahoma State, at Kansas State, and at Kansas. So West Virginia at home, Iowa State at home, TCU at home, and Baylor at home. They're one of the most fascinating teams around the country to me, because with that offensive firepower We saw what Worthy could do. We saw what Bijan can do. If they can block with a new court, and then Ewers. Is he Boy Wonder or is he Chris Sims? Which, by the way, Chris Sims is pretty good, but he wasn't what everybody thought he was going to be. And does that matter? Does Ewers' success or lack thereof matter in the Arch sweepstakes?
He's in the – oh, well, that's a great point. That's a great point. And it looked like Alabama was out on that one because of the commit they got yesterday.
Holstein.
Yours is in a good situation because of everybody around him.
Yeah, 100% agree. See if some, if they can block somebody.
If they can block. He doesn't have to be Boy Wonder.
No, and if he is, I mean.
And if he is,
and here's
look
the thing,
out.
Come, as a recruit, anyhow, first off, he wasn't supposed to be out of school till this year. He reclassified and left last year. I think he'd have been for sure the top quarterback in the class that's just signed. He was. He was top player in that class. So you're not talking about just kind of a guy. You're talking about a guy that people thought was going to be a super-duper star. And so I get your point of, yeah, he's got everybody around him. He doesn't have to be. But what if he is plus all that? Now you're talking about an offense that's really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And therefore a team that's probably pretty good. I mean, that's it's almost pointless to talk about them until we come in here on September the 12th after we see what happens in the home game against Bama. I mean, you can speculate all you want, but guess what? We're going to see it. And you know what Alabama has a history of? Punching people in the face early in the season. These games like this, I mean, they – punch you in the face and beat you down. It's kind of their MO.
I'm surprised Alabama agreed to this game in Austin.
Well, it's home and home.
It's home and home.
Yeah, just the first one in Austin.
You know, usually they go to, you know, AT&T or
that's right. Yeah, play
Houston.
And those are the places where they beat people down.
Right. That's
it hasn't necessarily been on somebody's campus.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I'm surprised they agreed to it. But the home and home, I get it. Yeah.
Just getting used to the conference game. Getting used to the trip to Austin. It's exciting. Yep. All right, when we come back, you're going to have... Now, we'll just keep these in our pocket. Eventually, we'll have to decide over, under, who wins the conferences and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's May 25th.
Yeah. You never know who gets arrested in the summer, because we all know that's coming. We're wrapping it up here on a Wednesday. All right, so I mentioned earlier, coming up on Friday... quite well on the text line, you can tell the OU fans that text me not liking any sort of positive Texas talk, and with valid questions. How long has it been since Texas has had even a decent offensive line?
Yeah, it's
been a while.
That.
It has been a while, but the difference is, I think, in my mind. With the possibility of Ewers as a good quarterback, then the sky, the ceiling is way higher for this Texas team than some others. Because, you know, Ellinger was Ellinger. Tough, whatever. But he didn't scare you.
No.
The thought of Ewers kind of scares you with the – and plus what he's got around him. I think that's – when you think of Worthy – I mean, does nobody remember Worthy? It was a track meet in the Cotton Bowl with that guy. And then Bijan, what he can do. I think that's the difference, is Ewers' ceiling as a quarterback is so much higher than – even though Ellinger – listen, Ellinger was an awesome college quarterback. He really was. But he had huge deficiencies as well. If you would just not let him run – he couldn't really beat you with his arm. Ewers doesn't seem like that. He seems like a different guy down there than they've had since, good God, Colt McCoy. That was coming on 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's how long it's been since they've had a guy that scared you as a quarterback. And so I agree 100% about the offensive line. But if it can be serviceable, I think that's where they've got the weapons that could really put some points on the board.
You know, all this
and we'll
Texas,
find out.
All this Texas talk, we have not talked about their defense.
Yeah, they gave up over 200 yards rushing a game last year.
Yeah.
There's also that problem.
Has that been fixed? I don't know.
Well, and quite honestly, Sarkisian, his whole career as a head coach, it's 7-5, 7-5, 7-5, 6-6, 8-4, 7-5. You know, it's interesting how elite he seems with Alabama's talent as the play caller and how average he seems as the head coach. No matter where he's been. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he's been at Toledo. He was at Washington and he was at USC. So, you know, there's also that obstacle as well.
Here's a number for you. 30. You score 30 or more against Texas, you're going to beat them.
Which hasn't been that difficult over the last decade.
They're giving up points in droves last year. I think that's the real question about this team. Not so much the offense. I think they're going to have a chance to be dynamic, but what about the defense?
Mm-hmm. A little bit. They're a little bit like OSU in a lot of ways. Anyhow, we got plenty of that coming. This is going to be fun. It's always the best time to talk about Texas. The preseason is once it starts, they're pretty forgettable or have been. Maybe this isn't that
year. No, trust me. People still talk about them. It's just how bad they are.
It starts getting more fun to talk about them when they're bad. I mentioned Brandon.
Think game day will be in Lawrence?
No, I do not. I think there's a great chance it's
big
in Austin.
Big noon, Saturday. What is that called? Big game, big noon?
Big noon kickoff. I think there's a chance it's going to be in Austin the second week, though.
Raise your hand. If you're would you be shocked if they lost to Louisiana Monroe?
Yeah, no, that's what they gotta beat them first. But you get by that one, then it's hyped up Texas versus Alabama.
Of course.
It's gonna be there.
All right, guy. He'll be picking nuts and he'll be the celebrity picker.
And then you look up in the stands at the end of the third quarter and there's 4,000 people there.
Yeah.
Because they're all on 6th Street drinking away their sorrows after Bama pummels them. Or, wonder how long it's been since they rushed the field down there. We have to start looking that up. Figure how long it's been since they've rushed the field at Texas. Probably that Notre Dame win. But probably Notre Dame or the USC, they had those wins at the starts of seasons in fairly recent memory.
Yeah. Tradition-rich programs hardly rush the field. So that I would say that'd be a long time.
Yeah, I bet they do. Yeah, I can guarantee you they do if they beat Alabama.
Sure.
Mark it down. Okay, so Brandon's coming in. Brandon Culver, Mr. 9-time triathlete, 9:30 on Friday. So you don't know what the distances are?
No, you got to fill me in.
The distances are, you start out with a 2.4-mile swim. 2.4 miles
2.4
of swim.
2.4-mile. Okay.
So, like, you literally swim. Let's see what it'd be. A mile to Randall. A mile to Washington. So, you, like, swim to Barberdison. From right out here at the stop sign. Okay. Then you get off there, and you find your bike, and you ride your bike to Bricktown.
How long?
112 miles of bike. Ride your bike 112 miles.
So he did this in Tulsa, right?
Yes, he did this in Tulsa.
Did he do, like, ride in a circle?
I don't know. I just know it was hard to find the interstate because it was all blocked off. We couldn't. At first, we were, like, trying to leave Sunday.
Oh, because the same thing. Yeah.
And we're like, what's going on here? And then as we're like, oh, it's that Iron Man. Let's see if we can see Brandon. And then, of course, the chance of Let's Go Brandon started. But at least you liked this Brandon and not the other one. And then, so you do that. So you swim 2.4 miles, you bike 112. And then you know what your payoff is?
What?
You run a marathon.
Which would be how far?
26.2 miles. So then you get off at Bricktown and you run to Shawnee. I mean, almost literally. So here's the question, Jared. How far do you make it?
Okay, you start swimming?
Start with swimming. Could you swim 2.4 miles?
I would make it to Hibbets from here and call it good. No, I could not swim that long, that far. No way. No chance.
Which of the three do you think you'd have the
38-year-old already with a dad body?
Which of the three do you think you had the better opportunity of finishing?
Because it is the shorter distance, would be swimming.
Oh, my God. There's no way I could do that one. Well, I couldn't do any of them, let's be honest.
I feel like I am a strong swimmer. You ever notice when you swim, you don't feel it till you're done? Till like you get out of the pool or out of the lake, back onto the boat?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, kind of. I do understand what you're saying.
So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I could go farther than however far Hibbets is from here. But as far as racing somebody?
No. You just race
just
some
to
time.
Do it. Just to do it. I think I could do swimming farther. You'd almost say bike, but I've ridden my back in high school just for fun. Me and some buddies rode our bicycles from Clinton to Weatherford one time. And that was a lot. That was a lot. We had to call somebody to come get us.
Well, yeah.
It's like a 15-mile bike ride. Can't get back. We thought, man, this is nothing. You're just riding a bike.
It's downhill, though, if you'd have came back.
Up and down. But I think I could swim the farthest.
I don't think I would. I've been talking about this with a buddy. We both decided we would be so out of breath trying to fit into the swimsuit thing that we'd be done right then.
Because you're in water, right? I mean, it keeps you cool.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess.
If you need a rest, just kind of float in your back.
I guess.
Kind of chill out.
I guess that's
if
right.
If I'm not racing anybody, if I'm just going for distance.
Man, I can't wait to hear about this.
I tip my cap. That is impressive.
It's an incredible accomplishment.
That is impressive. Man, I'd like to know, how does he have time to train for all this and still run a successful business?
Yeah,
I mean, he still has a job to do.
I know.
Man, very admirable. Very cool.
I've got lots of questions. I cannot wait. He may be a two-segmenter.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of the hour.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming up on Friday. I won't be here tomorrow. I got to go play golf with the firefighters, Brandon Culver being one of them, and Jared Sad. Have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cow. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!